And with that, we're going to hand over to John Tanyan. John Tanyan is our pastor of the Ajax Catch the Fire Church. And I have to tell you that I absolutely love going to Ajax. It's an amazing little church. If you've not been there, it'll be a good thing for you to go down there and visit them and bless them. So, John, good to have you here. Bless you.
Thank you, Darren. All right. How many of you have never heard me speak here before? Wow. It's like a third of you. I think the last time on Sunday I was here was about a little bit over 4 years ago. And time flies. We are entering into our 6 years as the campus at Ajax. We are the first one, and it's like 6 years of walking in God's destiny and purpose and plans, and it's amazing. How many of you have heard Steve last week? I heard he mentioned a little bit about our trip. You heard about that? All right, so I have a little video that I put together for you. We're going to show you what happened when we were doing Ilsam in Nepal. We just came back on Tuesday from our trip, and it's going to speak more than how we can describe what happened in Nepal. And I believe the Lord has spoke to me and gave me a message for you, and I want to take the time to speak what the Lord laid on my heart and give it to you. I want to be obedient to that. And I'm going to ask Susan. Susan was part of our team. Come, Susan, come up here. Susan, give her a hand. Come on, Susan. Run, quick. I want Susan to share a little bit. She was part of our team, go to Nepal. She's originally from Nepal, and we had six people on our team, and she's the one who's kind of was birthing that dream, that desire to go to Nepal. So I'm going to ask Susan just to share with a little bit. I don't know what she's going to share, but I know it's a good thing. So
first, I like to say thank you to mother and father in this house, John and Carol, and supporting us for Steve and Sandra. And thank you very much. For 7 years back, down there, he asked me, Pastor John asked me, where are you from? I said, Nepal. One day I will go. And thank you for Duncan and Kay. They asked me, 2007, Susan, when you come back, talk to your pastor. Next trip, we want to go. They put together, and I was hoping they're going to go, and they canceled, and they gave it to John. That was God's hand pick, because he promised, he desired, and he willing to go. He said, I want to go to your nation and bless. And so God, he handpicked every one of us. From the moment we left from here, God just, he wow us. Only I can say, wow, Daddy. I carry this baby 10 years, and we give birth. I'm so grateful to Lord. I pray for my father, 17 year, Hindu priest. 2007, he came to Lord. And Daddy, he's faithful. And my mother. And this time, after 25 years later, my brother, Pastor John, he led him to the Lord, baptized him. I think 10 people are more than, I'm sorry if I steal your testimony. More than 10 people he led to the Lord. Everywhere we go, we see God's glory. Everywhere, every step we take, because of obedience, because of waiting, because of his faithfulness, every step we take, we saw his glory. We are in a dinner hotel there, wedding anniversary, 20th wedding anniversary, and from our team, they want to honor them. And we went to the hotel, and my brother was there. And pastor, he led him to the Lord Wednesday night, and his friend who went to Iraq, and my niece, two waiter, 5 people, he led him to the Lord. And my brother, he said, I want to be baptized. And everywhere he's following us, he want to be baptized. And Saturday night, my brother, he prepared the dinner and all of us there. And my half a brother and my sister-in-law and my sister-in-law's sister and her brother and her brother-in-law. And I don't know how many, five, six, seven people, they are really, really religious. They believe the God Krishna. They are vegetarian. They grew up in religion. They only know the religion. They are really strong religious people. Open their heart and give their heart to the Lord. And my brother, glory to him. Glory to him. And he say he want to start cell group. He start praying for us. And he start blessing us, my brother. Daddy, he wow, just wow us. One girl, last Friday night, when we finished the meeting and we are stuck everywhere, people pulling everywhere, Pastor John one place and Alexander one place, and I stuck outside. One girl, she asked him to pray. And when he prays, he start manifesting evil, manifesting. She start running to the field. She's 17 years, and she speak good English, and she said, don't touch me. There is a poor man cannot hold her. And then pastor have to go upstairs. They call because there was a severe thing happening again. And he ran, and that girl was running, and nobody can hold, and I'm tiny, I can't hold. And I start binding that spirit, and she fell on the ground. And I went there, and I took her to the field alone there. And Holy Spirit filled her. And she tell me her secret sin, and I was able to see what Lord he want to do, and she come back to normal, and she was set free from the evil. And he was upstairs and doing mighty work. Just daddy, woe us. Please don't sit here and get so fat. Give your vacation, go. I take a vacation.
That's right.
I take a vacation. First time in my life, and I give it to Lord. First 2007, I swipe my credit card, and I pay 10,000 seed for the nation. I say, Lord, I'm going to see the revival. We saw the revival. Pastor John, he said, in 5 days, this happens. Susan, if we stay 3 more days, what's going to happen? Revival. Exactly. We saw last day, Sunday, when Alexandra and I went to preach one, minister one church, and there was a revival. It's begin. If we obey Lord, if we give it to him, he will give us. We don't have time to get fat here, receive. We have to give, and we can receive. Everything he gives us, we have to honor him. We have to go. Harvest is so ready, so ready, so ready. Please, please, family of God, give your time. Go. They are crying. They are desperate. They are broken. Just we need to take a step and go, please. Bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
I told you I didn't know what she's going to share, but I believe they're all good things. So the other thing is, when we were praying for one of her relatives, and she immediately, we asked her, like, do you have pain? She said, yeah. And she removed a bracelet. She has a big, huge, like, I think 10 or 12 inch bracelets around her. And we immediately prayed for her, and God healed her immediately. She just got saved. Like 5 minutes ago, she gave her life to Jesus. And 5 minutes later, she was like completely healed. And it was just amazing. I believe the little video clip that we put together, we're going to show you a little bit later, is going to speak louder than words. I want to share with you what the Lord's put into my heart. If you have your Bible, turn or open it to Mark chapter 2. And it was interesting how what Darren started the meeting, how he said he felt like God wanted to do healing. And my topics today is about healing. And not just physical healing, all different aspects of healing. And I believe I want to lay hand on people today on specific area where the Lord want me to be obedient. I believe the Lord spoke to me just as during the worship. He said, I want you to release 50 people from this place. 50 people who's going to jump into what God's called them. And I want to be obedient to that. So, all right. So, I'm going to give you a different example of Jesus healed people and what happened in this life, and the people, how they live their life and how they respond to healing and what they do next, and different ways, different part of the scriptures about healing. And as I share this, hopefully you will be able to identify something about one or two of these things, about if that's in your life and that's what is going on, and we want to pray, we want to release you as well from that, okay? All right. In Mark chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 8. All right. No, let's read from verse 3 first. Some men came bringing him a paralytic. They carried by four of them, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowering the mat, the paralytic man was lying on. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I want you to underline, if you can, in your Bible, when Jesus saw, not his faith, their faith, the man's and his friend. I want you to see the picture. This paralytic man has friend around him, and friend who will do anything for him to be healed. They're going to rip up your rooftop if they have to get their friend healed. If they come to your home, you have to say, "Oh, don't go into my rooftop. Please come in from the front door." They will do anything, anything. Turn to your friend, the person next to you, say anything. Do you have a friend like that? Do you know somebody who will do anything for you, or will you do anything for a friend for that person to be healed? It's not just one man. It's his four friends. And this man's faith, they must really like this guy. He must be a very nice man. Do you think so? If somebody's going to do anything for you, you must be a nice, good-looking guy. Right? I mean, this guy is paralyzed. How good can he be? I mean, he can't even walk. There must be something in him that they like. You understand that? And sometimes when I look around, I saw even some people, they are not paralyzed, but somehow they don't have friends. They don't have anyone who wants to do anything for them. And I said, what's the difference? Well, this guy has something special, right? And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." When he saw their faith, immediately he realized one thing has been broke out from this man's life. Whatever he's been doing before, now he's changing, he's doing something different. And Jesus said, "Now you know how to make friends. You know how to make people love you and like you. Somehow there's something happened." Jesus saw their faith. "Your sins are forgiven." He didn't say the guy, "Now be healed and go." What did he say? "Your sins are forgiven." This man became like a son. In verse 6. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking of themselves, "Why does this fellow talk? Why does Jesus talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their heart. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk,' but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin?" And if you look here, he didn't say the Son of God. He's identified himself as 100% man. He said, "Now, I want you to understand that man has, I have authority to forgive on the earth." He said to the paralytic, verse 11, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Sometimes when healing takes place, some people who don't understand how feelings flow, they oppose people who understand what God is doing. There's opposition that takes place. And sometimes, not only when you operate in the area of healing ministry, you need also to operate in the wisdom and how to answer people around you. And I find out if you don't, something happen. That person can lose that healing, or you might miss that person's healing to take place. And he got up, took the mat and walked out in full view of them all, amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this before." And now this healing took place, not in a quiet place, not like in a secret place. It took place among the Pharisees, the crowd. There's a big amount of, large amount of people around, and it happened in front of all of them. Everybody saw that healing took place, and they were all amazed. Right? Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 22. Luke chapter 5. Okay, verse 22. Let's read from verse 20. The same story. And then you say, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking of themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy?" Let's skip to verse 22. And Jesus knew, and he said this, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart, which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk,' that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin?" We read it in Mark. Now we read in the same passage, similar in Luke. What is Jesus saying here when he healed the sick? He said, "I'm forgiving your sin." When Jesus forgives sin, people get healed. When people are getting healed, their sin has been forgiven. So Jesus is saying, which one is easier to say? Pick up your mat and walk, or your sin is forgiven. How many know that Jesus can forgive sin? Completely. How many know that the same way that Jesus forgives sin, the same way he can heal people? There's no difference between the two. It's about how you want to believe, how much you believe in Jesus can forgive all the sin, and how you want to believe that Jesus can heal all your sickness and disease. God can do both. But this is what Jesus is saying. When I heal sin, I heal people. When I heal people, I forgive their sins. Sins and sickness and disease go hand to hand. I want you to see that. And somehow Jesus needs to see that the people are in a place of receiving healing, but they're also in a place of forgiveness, in a place of wanting their sin to be forgiven. Their life is in a place of change and transformation. In the same chapter, Luke chapter 5, I want to read from verse 1. I want to show you something different here. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water edge two boats left there to the fishermen who was washing their net. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. If you saw that in your Bible, a little bit out from the shore, not too far, just a little bit. You can underline that. It's very specific instruction, just a little bit. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So you can imagine, you can picture this, you can imagine the people sitting on the shore and Jesus in the boat, right, maybe just 5 feet away from the shore. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water." Now you can underline that word. Now I want you to put that boat where? In deep water, further. There's two different instructions. The first one was a little bit. And then the second one is out in the deep. He said, "Put out in the deep and let down the net for a catch." And Simon answered Peter. He said, "Master, We work hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the net. When they had done so, they caught a large number of fish, but their net began to break. So they signaled their partners on other boat to come and help them. They came and lifted those and filled that those boats so full that they began to sink. So, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus and kneeled and said, "Go away from me, I am a sinful man." For all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish. Okay, now you got the picture here. Simon, after he realized what happened, the fishing all night, not catching anything, next thing Jesus said, "Let's put out this boat on deep sea." And now there was a miraculous catch caught of the fishes. And they were so full, like this is like night and day. And Simon immediately realized one thing. What did he realize? And he fell down on his knees at Jesus' feet and said, "I am a sinful man. Lord, go away from me. I don't deserve you." Suddenly, there is a reality of who his life is all about and why the fishes are not coming into his net. Why the boat has not been filled. Why there's not enough provision. Why it's so dry, there's lack. Sometimes we need to come to a place, we need to realize when God sees sin, he can't move. He can't bless people, he cannot multiply his blessing on people's life. And the more we realize that, the more we say, "God, forgive us. That I'm not right, I've done things wrong," and unless we come to this place, God wants to forgive sin, and not only forgive sin, but he wants to heal. He wants to prosper. He wants to bless people around. Now, what does his boat and net represent? He's a businessman. So it could represent your business people. It could represent your company that you're working with. It could represent the company that you own. And sometimes it's like when things are not happening, it's not doing the things that's supposed to do, and it's not moving forward, you come to a place that God, okay, what's happening here? And the Bible says when Jesus come and multiplied, the first thing you say, "God, I can see. I'm not the right person. I'm doing something wrong." And God forgive him. And the next thing you know is this. I just felt like some people here in this place, you need to let the Lord start jumping on your boat for a moment. Sometime a little bit from the shore. All right, you know what? I'm going to try this. If Jesus say, "You know what? Take me on the boat. Let me go right to the deep right away." Oh, no. We've done that. That's what he was doing. But he taught them. He teach them something. They trust him. They see what's happening. And then sometimes we need to taught people in the business place. Sometime a little bit. And that's why I felt like the Larry things that's coming to the church is a good thing that we can start stepping that a little bit from the shore. And then that thing can go in a deeper level. Not just changing our life, changing people's life, but also to impact government and a nation around us. God wants to do that. Are you with me this morning? All right. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read from 4 to 6. Let's read from verse 1. Matthew 9, verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat, and Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this point, some of the teachers of the law, same thing, say to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming," knowing their hearts. And Jesus, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? It is easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk." But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. And then he said, pick up your mat, go home. What does a mat represent in someone who's paralyzed? It means restriction, situation. Some of you, you're bound by your situation around you. There's so much you can do, and yet you know there's so many things that you want to do and God wants you to do, but it's not happening. It's like you've been restricted on one thing and you cannot move. There's no breakthrough out. Instead of lying on your situation, sitting down on that situation around you, God wants you to pick it up and walk. God wants you to change your situation. And your situation can be changed when you realize that mat, God changing around, and that you can carry the cross and follow him. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. There's a destiny and a purpose. Either we sit on our mat and are restricted in what God wants us to do, or we stand up, God heal, and pick up the cross and go. There's a choice to be made. And I realize that even Jesus can heal all kind of sickness and disease and cripple and blind and lame. He can do that, but something that God don't do. He don't heal us from not committing sin. Jesus, God never heals someone from stopping making sin again. It is your choice. It is my choice. Because God will not overthrow his rules over you, your life. He'll let you make your own choice. And if you look in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 20, 25, when the people of Israel was really rebelling against Moses, they were complaining. It was so hot. Every time there's a complaint. And Moses said, I'm fed up with his people. And then the Lord said, you know what? I'm here to test them. I want to test these people. And if they learn to fear me, then they will stop sinning. That's what the Lord said. I will test these people's heart. If they learn to fear me, then, only then, they will stop sinning. So the fear of the Lord is a key as well for healing to take place. If God heals you or breakthrough in your business, breakthrough in your life, are you going to stop or are you going to do the same thing that you've done before? That's the question. In Matthew 8, turn with me, let's go there. Verse 1, when he came to the town of Mountainside, a large crowd followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can clean me. This man with a leper. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured with his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone. Some of them, Jesus said, in front of the whole crowd, even of his friend, in front of the Pharisees, they got healed. And Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. Everybody see that. And there's another situation here. Jesus said, don't tell anyone. Don't go home first. Don't tell anyone. But, he said this, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. God wants your healing to become a testimony. And I was kind of like, oh my God, how many people? I asked a friend of mine, Brian, say, how many people were standing right in the front this morning? And we say, what? At least 100 people are looking for healing. If Jesus healed you, then he wants you to testify, to be a testimony before. And he said, go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. This is a different ways. You know, here when people got healed, we say, hey, tell me, what happened? You got healed? Yeah, the pain's gone. Okay, praise God, go home. No, this is not how Jesus said. Jesus said, now show yourself to the priest and give a gift as Moses commanded. What is the gift that Moses commanded? If you look at it in Exodus 10 and 25, he said, what the Lord put in your heart to give to the priest, make an offering, make a sacrifice. When you receive your healing, this man was leper, he got healing. He received his healing, and when he stand up to testify, not only he said, I am healed, but he gave a gift to the priest. What do you mean today? Today's like, this is what it means. The Bible version for today, it's like when you come to church, not only you testify what God has done for you, but also give an offering. This is what he say. Hello? It's quiet here. It's very quiet here this morning. This is what he say. I was surprised this morning. I was watching the news. There was two girls, two sisters who was hurt in a car accident. And they say both of them are in a wheelchair. And they say we will give anything to be able just to go back. If we can turn the dates, turn the time. If we can get our how we were living our life before. We will give anything just to go back. And yet sometimes you find people in the church, they want healing, but they cannot give a gift. It's so sad that how we sometimes we value when God touch and heal people. God wants you to give a gift when he heals you. And Jesus gave that example here in Matthew chapter 8. And whatever God put into your heart, nobody's going to tell you how much it is, how much your healing worth. But whatever the Holy Spirit put in your heart to give, just to be obedient. How many want healing today? Well, the thing is you say, God, okay, God, if you heal me, and whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it, then I'll do it. The other one will say, God, if you heal me, I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to testify about that healing. Turn to John chapter 5. And I was as Darren was praying this morning, he said, Jesus want to heal. He want to heal every single one of us. He want to touch us, not just physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. He want to heal us. He want to set us free. You don't have to wait until you're in a wheelchair and say, God, I need healing. You don't have to wait until something go wrong, but if it's more than just healing took place. Literally, when Jesus heals someone, you know what he did? He also healed the land. Every miracle that Jesus did, it's not just for the person itself. It's to break the curse of the land. When God heals you, he's not just for yourself. It's not for you to be completely healed physically and emotionally. It's to break curses around you. You know, when this blind man in the pool of Shiloh, when this man was blind and Jesus walked to him and said, what do you want? Say, I'm blind. I mean, you see a blind man, you know they're blind. You don't have to ask, what do you want? And Jesus, guess what he did? He take mud, he spit on it, and put it on his eyes. Now, not only he's blind, he's more blind now. Try it. You don't believe me? Put mud on your face and see. You see darker, you know what? And then he said to this man, go and wash, go to the pool of Shiloh, go and wash yourself. Now this man is literally, I mean, think about it. It sounds like a crazy, stupid things to do. A blind man walking with mud in his eyes and trying to go to a pool. But sometimes God do that. Why? I don't know. Sometimes he make us do the impossible thing. Go and wash your face. And as he do that, as he wash his face, suddenly he can see. And he says, I can see. Who healed you? I don't know who healed me, but I can see. I don't know, and I'm blind. You know that story of this place of the pool of Shiloh is just by the wall of Jerusalem? That wall has a saying, and it's been saying for years and years and years. Whenever the enemy come against the people of Israel, they say, even if we put blind men on the wall, they cannot come against us. This wall is our refuge. It's so tall, it's so thick, nothing can break this wall. They were saying this to every for years and years and years and years. And this word is very popular in Jerusalem. Even if we put blind men on the wall, no enemies can come in. No one can enter this wall. And that was something that Jesus needed to heal the blind man at the same place, and he break the curse of what had been said on that land. A lot of healing that Jesus did is not just for somebody to be healed. It's to break curses around. Your healing is not just for you. And I'm so happy today that, I don't know about you, but I'm so excited about what God is about to do with this nation. Canada is, I'm so proud to be Canadian, I'm telling you right now. God is moving this nation forward, and not just this nation, but the church is going forward in the front row. I'm so excited about this healing of the nations taking place, about the sign, the prophetic word that's coming to pass. And God has a destiny for each one of us today. He wants to heal us. He wants to set us free. He wants us to get up from where we've been sitting for years and start moving and do something. You know, the truth is this. Even if you close your eyes, you're not really closing your eyes. If I close my eyes, not my eyes that is closed, my eyelid that's closed, I can still see the shadow like this. The eyes of your heart never close. There's a lid that can probably, the enemy has closed the lid, closed the eyes of your heart. And sometimes you say, I feel like God is saying something. I feel like God is showing me, but I don't understand what it's exactly what he's saying. Well, all you have to do is just open your eyes. What are the things that keep the eyes of your heart closed? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to heal today. He wants to heal our spiritual blindness of our hearts. John chapter 5. I want to read this because this is interesting. Sometime later, verse 1, Jesus went to Jerusalem at the feast of the Jew. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here is a great number of disabled people. I want you to be able to see this colonnade. Imagine this. A great number of what? Disability people, crippled people. All of them have a mat they're sitting upon. Here's a great number of used to what? Used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. Can you imagine? How old is this guy? If he's been sitting there for 38 years old, I'm guessing he's probably in his 40s or 50s, even more. Sitting there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Literally, the Lord has compassion on this man. 38 years he's been sitting doing nothing in his life. Waiting something to happen. Waiting something to take place. Now, we might look at the physical situation, but today I want you to see at the spiritual situation as well. There are people who's been saved for years and years and years and still in the same place for years and years and years. And Jesus said, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to move on to the things of God? Look what he said. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me in the pool. What? No one to help me. 38 years. You remember the story with the guy with the open the roof? His friend will do anything for him. This guy, no one will help him. For 38 years, nobody wanted to help a guy who's paralyzed for 38 years. Why? Why? Why nobody wanted to help him? There must be a reason to this. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he has been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? There's no one here to help me into the pool. When the water is still, I am trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, pick up your mat and walk. God wants you to start picking up your mat today and walk. God wants you to change your situation today. He wants to heal the place, the things that are surrounding you, and want to change the things that he wants you to start to do. At once the man was cured. Immediately he was cured. 38 years. Immediately he was healed. He picked up his mat and walked. And now I want you to pay very much attention to what I'm going to share with you next. I want your eyes to be open, because I believe it's going to speak to some people here today. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath day. It was a day of rest. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, the Jews asked him, the Pharisees asked him, you here say, is this is a Sabbath? The law forbid you to carry your mat. Again, the same scenario. The first time when they opened the roof, Jesus answered the Pharisees. And now, guess what they do? They go to the one who's been healed and say, the laws forbid you to carry your mat on the Sabbath day. Every time when this healing takes place, other people will walk around and say, I'm not really sure you're healed. I'm thinking there's something wrong here. They're always coming around. Always. I want you to pay attention to those people around. Do you believe Jesus wants to heal people? It's the same way. Do you believe Jesus can heal all your sin? It's the same thing. If you believe Jesus wants to forgive all sin, but you don't believe Jesus wants to heal people, then something is wrong. He wants to heal every sin. He wants to heal every sickness and disease. But then there's people go around and talk. Watch out for them when you get your healing. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. It's not me, the one who healed me. 38 years. What is he saying? It's not me. I'm not the one to be blamed. No wonder he has no friend to help him. Are you getting the picture now? Are you getting something here? So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who healed me has no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd. And there was, that was there. And went later, verse 14, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, Jesus found him later at the temple. And Jesus is going to reveal himself to him, say, see, you are well again. And what did he say? What did the Bible say? Stop what? Stop what? Sinning. Now you're well again. You got healed. You're well again. Stop what? Sinning. Tell this guy, stop sinning. Or something else may happen to you. It's not for Jesus' sake that this man got healed. It's for this man's sake. That's why he got healed. And Jesus said, now, stop. I see you healed now. Stop it. Stop doing the wrong thing. Or something worse will happen to you. And guess what happened? This man went away and told the Jew that it was Jesus who had made him well. Guess what he literally did? He nervous the Jew. They want to find out who healed you, because they want to persecute the person who told you to carry your mat. Oh, this is the one who told me now. They were trying to persecute me, tell me why you pick up your mat. Now I find out who's the one to be blamed. So he went to the Jew and tell them, I know who's the one. It's Jesus. And if you carry on, you realize that they want to persecute Jesus after that. It's very sad, but sometimes people receive a healing, they've never been grateful. Or under pressure, they do the wrong thing again. And I've seen this over and over and over and over again. People who want to help other people, always sometimes they got to be blamed because they're helping someone. Finally, they stop doing it. You're probably one of them. You try to help someone and you've been blamed. And then you stop doing it. Suddenly you're sitting on your mat. God wants you to get out of it. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Oh my goodness, I'm passing time here. Let me just quickly wrap up this. Jesus called the 12 disciples and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sicknesses. And he said, even if you drink poison, if you touch the snake, even if it bites you, nothing will happen to you. What the scriptures are saying is this. If you get something to drink and it's poisonous, or you get a meal that is contaminated, mad cow disease, swine flu, whatever it is, are you going to take it? No. But in the eyes of Jesus, he said this, sin are worse than the snake and the poison. Sins in your life are worse than the snake and the poison. You can drink this, you can get by this, nothing's going to happen to you, but if you sin, it's going to get worse. That's how the Lord sees things. Colossians 3 verse 13, it says, bear with one another, forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something. Whoever has caused you to sin, or whoever has put pressure for you to lose your healing, whoever has come around, or whatever grievance somebody has caused you, I'm going to ask you to be able to forgive one another. As you forgive, the Lord will forgive you and heal you. And then he says this in Mark 16, he says to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And this sign will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snake in their hand. And they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hand on the sick people and they will get well. That authority has been given to the believers to do, to go and heal people. This morning, because of time, I'm going to ask specific people. And you know that message is for you. You know the word that's coming out of my mouth. That's a message that's touching your heart today. I want to tell you, you have not received me. You have received the one who sent me. And you know that your situation, you're bound with your situation. You want to see healing take place. And you have a call of God in your life. You've been in the ministry and somehow the ministry has choked, has dry. God wants to heal you today. If God has healed you and God has, you say, God, if you heal me, I'm going to make a promise. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that for you. The Bible says, if whatever you make a vow to the Lord, do not delay and go and fulfill it. Let's do it. So I'm going to ask those of you, this message is for you today. I want to pray for you. I want to lay hand on you. I want to break out that thing that is holding you down so that you can go on and fulfill and step out in the destiny that God has for your life. Is that all right? Okay. I'm going to play this DVD. I'm going to show you a couple of this DVD. It's about, and when those who want to be dismissed, you may be dismissed. But those of you who say, God, this is business day for me. I want to meet with you. In Exodus, the Lord said, I'm going to send manna from heaven. And they took manna and they want to keep it for the next day. But the next day, there's maggots in it. You can't eat it. And some of you probably say, this is a word for me, but I'm going to meditate. I'm going to keep it for the next day. Well, the next day, this word of the Lord is not going to be the same. And you know that's you. We want to pray for you. God, everybody know what John 3:16, but John 3:17 say, for God sent his son not to judge, not to condemn the world, but to save those who are lost. God is in the business of saving people. He loves you so much. He don't want you to see your life wasted like this. And if you know that, you want to pray for you today. But you need to come with a heart. Say, God, if someone is hurting me. Somebody has done something against me. I'm going to pray for forgiveness. All right? Can we play this? I want to explain the DVD very quickly before we show this to you. It's a little clip of the first day, and then you go to the Wednesday and Thursday. And as you see this movies, it's progress. You see this more people coming. And this is the pastors and the leaders in Nepal. And then at the end, there's just children in the middle. These children, they came for the last day because they come from the next door. There's an orphanage. There's a boarding school. All of them are orphan. Most of them has been there from weeks old. There was one little girl. She was 7 years old. I was holding her in my hand. Her father died in the war, and her mother died 7 days after she was born. She was in the orphanage. And they came, and the amazing thing, pastors can't understand. I asked the children to lay hands on the pastors. They could not understand me. I have to explain like 5 times before they could understand. And the children could not lay hands on the elderly people. I literally take their hand and put on their head. I took their hand, put on my head, pray for me. Next thing you know, the Holy Spirit show up. Can you stand, please? I want you to stand. I just want to let you know that, just to give you an example, like Susan, she's a single mom, and yet God used her mightily, touching her nation. And I believe there's a lot of people here today. You want to see your nation be touched. You come from somewhere else. You come from another country. There's a nation of crying out for God's right now. There's doors is going to be open that God wants to send you. That you're going to go there and do exactly what she does to them. And God is wanted to see more people, because that is the destiny of Canada. Is to go back and bring healing to the nation. We saw healing took place. The ladies who were vomiting in the plastic bag, demonic spirit was coming out of them. We saw cripple got healed. There was a guy whose hand was crippled, his leg was twisted, and God straightened his legs and he stood flat. And when he looked at me, he said, "Happy, happy, happy." I'll never forget that. God is looking for people. The field is white, ready for harvest. God's looking for workers today. God not only just want to heal you, but God wants to take you in a journey that will change your life. We see people life transformed, transformation took place. I want to encourage you, Jeremy's here, come to an Ilsam, come to school. Come and take a week off and get trained, receive something and take it out to this world. Don't wait for me. Just between you and the Lord right now. I'll just let the Holy Spirit lead me to pray for you guys. God wants to restore things in your life. If you believe Jesus wants to forgive all your sin, God wants to release you into everything you can possibly imagine. Father, I just leave all these people before you today. Lord, you know every single one of them. You know their heart, Father. Father, we don't look at the outside. We want to look at the Spirit lead us, Father. Father, the same anointing, the same presence that was on Jesus can also be upon us. There's no difference, God. And even Jesus said, the things that I've do, you will do even greater, 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 more than these. Father, we want to do more than that. It's not about us, it's about you, God. Father, I leave all these men and women today before you. I ask you, Father, to heal them. Forgive them all the sin, Father. Set them free. Open the eyes of their hearts. Let them see the truth, Father, that is before them. Release them, Father, in the field. Release them to their workplace. Release them into their neighbor's house. Release them into Toronto. Release them into Canada. Release them into the nation where we come from. Release them, Father, to bring healing to this world. Anoint them, Father God. Fill them with your presence. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill them, God. Fill them, Lord.
We just need some catchers, please. So, men, if you could, I need about three guys. Just come and stand behind the people in the rows. Christianity is about to look very different. So, Holy Spirit, as we go, we ask that you would, Holy Spirit, you would burn an urgency in our hearts and in our spirits. Father, this week we ask that you would take us to the place where you would teach us, you would speak to us and show us the places where we're complacent. Show us the places where we're just satisfied with what we've got. We want to be hungry and thirsty. We want to make room for more of you. Jesus, we want to make room for the things that you said we could do. And so as we go this week with this Thanksgiving weekend, we're so thankful, Jesus, for what you've done. We're so thankful that you've given your life to us and for the destiny that you've called us to. We want to come back next week with stories. We want to come back next week bringing our neighbors. Hoo-wee. Holy Spirit, we give you everything that we are. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We will become even more undignified than this. We thank you for your love for us. Father, we thank you that you have always loved us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us. And as we leave today, we leave with you. And so I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you to have an incredible weekend. An absolutely love, life-filled Thanksgiving weekend. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.